So Nathan says to David, the great king, the greatest of all the kings of Israel, oh, he said, David, you have sinned. And because of your sin, our God, Yahweh, he will destroy your kingdom. And David, this great king, and let me tell you folks, when you're in those great positions, it's hard to admit mistakes. It's hard for you and me to admit mistakes. But admitting mistakes when you're, you know, way in the top. But you know what he said? He said, you're right. I killed Uriah because I sinned with his wife. I am a sinful man. Pope Francis this week, he begged, especially leadership in parishes, to speak their sinfulness, to tell of their struggle and their addictions, to say to their people, I'm a sinful man, I'm a sinful woman. Because that's how the grace and the power of God is made manifest. It doesn't rely on me, it doesn't rely on leadership, it relies on the power and the gift and the grace of God. So we're all sinners, brothers and sisters. 48 years in priesthood, I've learned that singular thing. We're all the same. But so many of us are afraid to admit that. Because we're afraid to admit that, the power and the gift and the grace of our God is not manifest. David is the example today. We've got this incredible story of this woman who was a sinner. Now we, of course, immediately think about sexuality. May not have been that at all, but she was sinful. That's for sure. And because she was set aside and sinful, she was unclean by their standards, by the Jewish standards. And so for this woman, an unclean woman, to touch this Jewish man, he became infected by her uncleanness. He became unclean. So that's in the mix. Jesus was willing to be named and claimed as unclean because he accepted the love and the goodness of this woman. The other part of the story is the Pharisee. He didn't want Jesus because he loved Jesus or because he was interested in following Jesus. Jesus was like a novel, a toy. He didn't greet him with a kiss. He didn't wash his feet. He didn't respect him. He just was curious. So he invites him in, you know, just to kind of scintillate a little bit, get a little information. And Jesus speaks to Simon. He tells Simon, you really gave disrespect, not just to me, but to any guest. That's our tradition. But this woman, Simon, this unclean woman, kissed my feet, anointed me with an alabaster jar. She must have had a few bucks, folks. It's not a cheap jar. And she kissed his feet, washed them, kissed them. So we've got this incredible gift tonight. The admission of our sin. The incredible grace of a God who never, never, never tires. Never tires of forgiving us. Never. We tire of asking, but he doesn't tire, our God, of forgiving. You're touched tonight, I hope, by that story. That's the story of the gospel. Now, I had a little song and dance about that, but I threw it all away this afternoon. Because something happened to me this morning, I've just got to share. It's Father's Day, and so I honor and love and respect fathers in such a wonderful way. I had a great dad. He was Norwegian, and you know that what you can say about Norwegian. You can always tell a Norwegian, you just can't tell him much. And that was my dad. Couldn't tell him much. And his son is not too far from that either. But I went to Denver yesterday to celebrate a 50th anniversary of a beautiful family in our parish, the Weldons. And they had 50 years, and they had their family, and it was tremendous. But it went on all night. I mean, I staggered out of that place at 12 o'clock. Not because I was drinking. It just was late. And so we got home, and I went to bed, and I got up at 5:30 to get on the plane to get back here, because I was anxious to get back for the liturgies, as much of the liturgies as I could this morning, and Father's Day, and for tonight. So I got on the plane, and I was way in the back of the bus. But I had an in seat, which is a blessing. And I was really tired, so I set my sights of 2 hours from here, from Denver back. I'm just going to snooze, so I'll be fresh, because I'd prepared some things, and so I was ready to go. Well, this woman came in and sat right next to me, and I got my seatbelt out, and she said, by the way, I never wear my Roman collar when I travel. Never, never, never. I don't know why. I don't know why I don't do it, but I just don't. Well, I did today because I wanted to get right off the plane and get right back to the community. So there I was like this. She said, unleash that priest. So I said, you know, take the thing off. So I said, oh, I'm in trouble. So ever before she sat down, I got right in my seat and I went boom like this because I didn't want to talk for 2 hours. And I think she was fired up to do that. So, both of them went to the bathroom, got up, back they went. And then they came for the food and the, what do they call that, whatever, the little boxes of things and all this stuff was going. But I closed my eyes and I kept my head down like this. Well, it got towards about 10 o'clock here and we're, 9 o'clock here and we were about to land, about 20 minutes from landing. And I got feeling I said, what am I doing? Here I've got this great story about the forgiveness and love of God. So I turned to the woman and I said, hi. And she stepped on my feet and I used an expletive. And she said, is that a prayer? I said, no, just a word. But then she shared with me that she had gone to Denver because of her mother's death. And she had a funeral. And she was a strong Irish woman. They had a service in the Unitarian Church. I didn't ask why. And you know, it ended up great. So I come out after the 9:30 Mass, and a fellow walked up to me and told me about that little story, you know, Tipping Point. Do you know the story? I mean, the book, Tipping Point. Have you read it? A few years old. On page 162, there's a story about a survey that they did in Princeton. And they took a bunch of seminarians and they told them that they were to give a homily on the Good Samaritan. But they were to do it not there, but in another building on the other side of campus. So they gave them a few minutes to prepare and they said to one set of the seminarians, you have a little time to get over there. It's not time yet, so go on over. They said to the other group of the seminarians, oops, you're 5 minutes late. Get over there. You're late for your talk. They had planted a homeless person in the wake of their walk so that they would have to pass by this person giving a talk on the Good Samaritan. So there was this guy. They surveyed, after everyone went to their place to give their talk on the Good Samaritan, good people with a great deal of love, how many stopped to just spend a moment or to try to help this person? 68% of the people who were told that they had a little more time before they gave their talk stopped and spent a moment with them. 10% of the people that were in a rush stopped to give this good man a word. My brothers and sisters, but especially to our fathers, the world desperately needs your time. The world is in a rush. We're fixated on what we're going to do next. Go to sleep on a plane, you know? Get this done, you know? Go to dinner, you know? But if we could just turn that little baby off for just a tiny little bit of time each day, we just might not miss some gift and grace that's been given to us by this loving God. So happy Father's Day to you folks. Hope this is a great day. And my prayer is, I hope you've got time. Amen.